WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program. This time I got it right. Hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning. And we've been talking about a number of different things this morning, including last hour. I mentioned that the Dartmouth High After Prom Parties fundraiser is happening this Saturday at the Vault in New Bedford. We'll have the link up on our Facebook page a little bit later on this morning, but you can find it under Town Square Sunday if you want to get your tickets. We also mentioned that this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Fort Tabor Fort Rodman Military Museum, they're going to have Chuck Keneally, U.S. Army tanker, retired with 43 years of military service, as a guest speaker, talking about the restoration of the public tank monuments in New Bedford and throughout New England. So that's at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Free admission, free parking at the military museum. We talked about Zapolas. I think I'm saying that right. Today is St. Joseph's Day, so people are running to the bakery to get their Zapolas. But we have a story at WBSM.com and on the app where you can get them in Massachusetts without having to go all the way to Rhode Island. Although Rehoboth, Massachusetts isn't that far from Rhode Island, but it keeps you from having to cross the Washington Bridge. We also have a story at WBSM.com about how Dollar General is going to be closing more than 100 stores. So they've already been closing stores. They closed several less than 2 months ago. And now they've announced that they are closing 100 more stores. Now, it's not to the point where Big Lots is going out of business. Family Dollar is closing a whole bunch of its stores or turning them into Dollar Trees. And we still have, you know, there's one in New Bedford. There's some in other towns where they have the Family Dollar, Dollar Tree side by side. They're already the same store anyway. What's the difference? Now that Dollar Tree is adding items that cost more than a dollar, well, more than $1.25, they've got things that are $5 and things like that. So it really has just turned into a Family Dollar. Just combine them. They're the same company anyway. Just combine them. But Dollar General presented its investors with a fourth quarter earnings report last week and said that 96 Dollar General stores will close in the first quarter of this fiscal year. And they'll also shut down 45 more locations carrying its Pop Shelf store branding. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a Pop Shelf. So Dollar General has not said which locations will be closing. But they said that the basis on how they will decide that is based on individual store performance, expected future performance, and operating conditions. Now, there's 19,000 Dollar General stores across the United States, so closing 96 of them is not really that big of a deal. And in fact, that's something that any profitable business is going to be looking to do over time anyways. They're going to say, well, who is our high-performing stores and who is our low-performing stores and, you know, where are we paying rent or where are we paying property taxes where we're not making that money? And we'll just cut those losses. Like, that should be part of any strategy. But I can tell you, I think I've been in a Dollar General once. Isn't there one in New Bedford, like over near Savers? I think I went into that one time. Other than that, I don't think I've ever been in a I went into a Dollar General in New Jersey. That was my first time ever being in a Dollar General. But it was just like, what is the difference between this and Family Dollar, Dollar Tree? It's all kind of the same. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Are you speaking to me?
Only you know for sure, but it sounds like you.
Okay. Yes, I want a little bit of help. The seniors have dancing down to Fort Tabor on Sundays. Mm-hmm. The city pays for this. There's live bands, and it's not advertised. And at the last dance, we were told that if they don't get more bodies in there, they're going to shut it down. Everything else is advertised. Why not advertise for the senior center?
So do they just need bodies to be in there, or do they have to actually be dancing? Can people be sitting and enjoying the music?
You know what I mean.
No, I'm serious. Are they looking for active number of dancers, or are they just looking for people to attend?
Oh, yeah, we're looking for dancers or whatever. That's the way we were told the week before last, that if they don't get more bodies in there, they're going to shut it down. Now, the city pays for live bands, and the people appreciate it, but it's not being advertised.
Well, I mean, I would say that falls on the city for not getting the word out about that.
I speak to the mayor and the city hall every year, and nothing is done. So I would appreciate it if you could let the seniors know that the dances are back. And you have a great day.
You as well.
Thank you.
All right. I'm looking at the city page here. And it mentions here the Fort Tabor Dance Series. Live music, 1 to 4 p.m. on selective Sunday afternoons. Free admission. But it really doesn't have any more information. In fact, this goes back to 2018. That's how updated this is. Let's see here. The Fort Tabor Community Center page. See, again, I'm just going to say this one more time. The city's website is a mess. The city's entire digital profile is a mess. They just paid all this money to create the new app. Honestly, I already forgot the name of it. If the mayor is listening, he's not going to like that. And now I'm looking for it on my phone and I don't see it. Anyway, the website does not do a very good job of giving information. But let me take a look here and see what I can find on this page. So the senior dance is happening Sunday, March 23rd from 10:30 to 4:30. And then the next one is April 6th. Again, same time, 10:30 to 4:30. So you gotta get out there and you gotta take part in this so they can keep it going. And you know what? I think everybody should show up at this one this week and prove to them that it's something that you wanted to go to. And if you didn't know about it, you didn't know about it. But maybe someone needs to get on with Jim Phillips, too, and do a whole segment on Town Square Sunday to talk about some of the events that they have for seniors. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. I'd like to talk about the article that Jack Spillane published in New Bedford Light about trash.
Sure.
One of the things that wasn't mentioned was alternatives to trash. And the South Coast Neighbors United have come up with a conversation series. And there's a speaker tonight Christy Pesci, who's going to talk about alternatives to waste. And I'd just like you to people to know about it. It's today at UMass Dartmouth from 3 to 5 in the, the Performing Arts Building, parking lot 5, and it's room 153. And it's going to be repeated tonight at 6:30 at the New Bedford Whaling Museum. And both events are free. And it's going to talk about different ways to handle the trash problem. It's not just a New Bedford problem. It's a global problem. We need to come up with some solutions.
Well, I mean, what would be some of those alternative ways? I mean, I'm sure, you know, there'll be more information tonight, but, you know, just what kind of things are we talking about?
I think she's got a ton of things. I've heard her speak, and she's a powerful speaker, but I don't know exactly what she's going to say.
All right. Well, again, give everybody that information one more time.
Okay. It's a speaker series at UMass Dartmouth in the Visual Arts Performing Building. It's room 153, and it's parking lot 5, and it's from 3 to 5 p.m., and tonight it will be at the New Bedford Whaling Museum from 6:30 to 8:30.
Excellent. I'm assuming in the auditorium there, too.
Yes, yeah. In the auditorium, yeah. And the other thing I'd like to say is that there had been a waste transfer fire station fire on Sunday, and it was an 8-alarm fire, and it resulted in $4 million worth of damage.
Wow.
And I live in the North End, and I'm very concerned about what would happen if Parallel Products does put in that transfer station. What would we do if there was a fire? So I'm looking for alternatives to that because waste is a problem.
Understandable. All right. Well, thank you for the information.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
And I believe that room 153 in the Performing Arts Building, I believe that's where I used to have classes. It's like a little auditorium room. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of space there. I don't know how many it seats, but it's got to be at least a couple hundred. But I took multiple classes in that room over the years when I was at UMass Dartmouth. I went to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show in that auditorium when I was at UMass Dartmouth. And I actually got the chance to speak in that auditorium a few years ago to some students. I believe it was kids from Greater New Bedford Voc Tech that they brought to that auditorium. And I got to speak to them about the paranormal. So it's a good size room. So don't feel like, you know, don't feel like you can't go to it. It's going to be a small space. They'll have plenty of space in that room. And then if you've ever been in the Whaling Museum auditorium, same thing. It's a very nice facility over there. Plenty of comfortable rooms. And one thing to keep in mind, in addition to the uses that it has for the public too, they run 3D movies in there. I went and saw one last year that was about blue whales. And it was really good seeing, you know, it was very cool seeing a 3D movie. And they're never really very long. Let's see. Right now, they are showing Turtle Odyssey, narrated by Russell Crowe. So it's a film about sea turtles that is in 3D that you can see at the Whaling Museum. $6 general admission, $4 for museum members or with museum admission. So I'm just taking a look at the ticket calendar. Yep, so they got that showing. You can go and check that out if you want to. And it's a fun day. It's a fun little thing. All right, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk more with you. 508-996-0500. We will be right back.
Grew up tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night.
said I dig you, baby, but I got to keep moving on. Keep moving on.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain. I feel summer creeping in and I'm tired of this town again.
All right. Welcome back in. We're going to be going to the newsroom in just a moment with all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. Before we do that, though, I'm taking a look at this nice bright sun that's coming out here now. It's warming up out there. It's going to be warm today. It's going to be almost 60 degrees. And with this nice bright sunshine, you might be thinking about going solar, right? Because you opened up that electric bill. You opened up that bill with all of the extra delivery charges and all. And you said, why am I paying all this? They don't have to deliver anything to you when you go solar. So what you want to do is you want to talk to Isaacson Solar and they'll tell you all of the truths and eliminate all the myths about going solar. Whether or not you want to put it on your roof or if you want to have it somewhere else on your property, they can even construct special things on your property that will not only provide solar power but also enhance your property, like a carport or a solar pavilion that gives you a nice shaded area in the summertime. So make solar work for you in more ways than one. And eventually you're going to get to the point where you are sitting out there in the yard, in your solar pavilion, with your car, safely protected under your solar carport, and you're not even worried about your electric bill because the electric company is paying you. So how do you find out more? Go to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and set up an appointment for them to come out and talk to you. And remember, they're not the people that come and knock on your door. Those people just come in, sell you a bunch of solar panels, and then leave town, and you never hear from them again. That's not Isaacson Solar. They're here to be your partner in solar. They are part of the South Coast community. They are not going anywhere, and they're not going to bother you. You have to ask them to come and speak to you. IsaacsonSolar.com. All right, we are going to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. When we come back, we'll have some time to discuss, 508-996-0500. But later on this morning, Mayor Mitchell will be back with Chris at 11 a.m. It'll be our first chance to speak with him since the release of the Boston Globe's spotlight series, Snitch City. The mayor did issue a statement last week, but I'm sure they're going to get deeper into it with Chris today. And also, part three of the podcast version of Snitch City dropped yesterday. It's entitled The Chief, and it's all about Chief Paul Oliveira. If you don't want to listen to the podcast, the page at the Globe Spotlight site has a transcript of what is in that podcast. So you can read that for free without having to subscribe to get the print stories that are also part of the Snitch City series. So you can check that out at the Boston Globe site. All right, we're going to take a break for the news, and we'll get back to the discussion on the other side. Take it away, Mike Roberts.
Job cuts at the Pentagon. An execution scheduled for this morning in Arizona, and no winner in the latest Powerball jackpot.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Two NASA astronauts are back on Earth after a 9-month stay on the International Space Station. NASA spokesperson Steve Stitch says there is no specific timeline when Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore will be reunited with their families.
I know they're going to fly back here tonight. They'll probably spend some time rehabilitating a little bit and the docs watching them, and then they'll rejoin their families in the next, day or so.
Williams and Wilmore had to stay longer than expected aboard the ISS after issues with their Boeing Starliner spacecraft. They returned home in a SpaceX capsule yesterday, splashing down in the ocean off the coast of Florida. Arizona is set to execute a convicted murderer this morning. 53-year-old Aaron Gunches is scheduled to die by lethal injection at the Arizona State Prison Complex. It would be the state's first execution in 2 years. Gunches was convicted in 2002 for the murder of his then-girlfriend's ex-husband. The Pentagon is preparing to eliminate between 50 and 60,000 civilian jobs over the next few months. A senior defense official said the job cuts will hopefully happen via voluntary resignations and not by replacing workers who leave. The Pentagon also is going to begin firing probationary employees. The plan is part of the Trump administration's efforts to gut the federal workforce. Powerball jackpot soaring after there was no grand prize winner on Monday. Tammy Trujillo has the latest.
The next drawing is set for Wednesday and will now be worth at least $416 million. The cash option on that, in case you're wondering, works out to just over $194 million. Two tickets, one sold in Colorado and the other in Pennsylvania, are good for $1 million each.
Amazon Echo will soon be sharing information with Amazon servers, and users can't opt out of it. The Do Not Send voice recordings feature will come to an end on March 28th. Company spokesperson said that they are expanding Alexa's capabilities with the generative AI features that rely on the processing power of the secure cloud. The biological mother of the Connecticut House of Horrors victim, held captive by his stepmother, is speaking out. Sarah Lee Kistler has the details.
She spoke exclusively and anonymously with NBC4 Connecticut, saying bluntly,
she could rot in hell.
The 56-year-old stepmother, Kimberly Sullivan, is charged with kidnapping, assault, and unlawful imprisonment. The 32-year-old man told police he set fire to her Waterbury house last month to get their attention. He was 5'9 and weighed just 68 pounds. After his stepmom allegedly held him captive in a locked room for 20 years.
She needs to actually spend the rest of her life in solitary confinement, in fed 2 cups of water a day.
Kimberly Sullivan is pleading not guilty. I'm Sarah Lee Kistler.
The Radio City Rockettes are celebrating 100 years. The iconic Precision Dance Company was founded in St. Louis in 1925 and are the longest-running dance company of its kind in the U.S. To celebrate this milestone anniversary, they are expanding their dancer development program, starting with the 2025 Rockettes Open Call auditions at Radio City Music Hall on April 22nd.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins travel to Vegas, taking on the Golden Knights tomorrow at 10, and the Celtics play the Jazz on Friday at 9:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Plenty of sunshine. That's going to help the cause here, not just this morning, but into the afternoon as well. Temperatures in the mid and upper 50s this afternoon. A light breeze, but that's all she wrote. A few more clouds move in late in the afternoon and early in the evening, but that is the biggest hurdle to our day, and I don't think that's much of a hurdle at all. Great news if you want to get out and maybe celebrate St. Joseph's Day. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app if you want to send over your thoughts there. And I want to thank the pork man. If you didn't see my app chat message reply, thank you for that offer. Definitely going to take you up on that. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier is New Bedford Light has on their website, they did a great series breaking down everything that you need to know about taking the train. So if you are going to go to the airport, if you're going to go to TD Garden or Fenway Park, or if you want to find out about some of the other places you can go to on the train, things that you probably didn't think about. I didn't even think about it. I mean, I know I had been mentioning here, it's not just about getting to Boston. It's also about getting to Brockton. It's also about getting to Bridgewater. But the Bridgewater stops right on the campus of Bridgewater State. So you could theoretically be a commuter to Bridgewater State without a vehicle. You can take the train right to the campus. There's campus shuttles that pick you up at the train station and bring you to whatever building you need to go to. If you live at Bridgewater State and you want to come home to New Bedford and you don't have a car, you can just take the train. You don't have to wait for your parents to come and pick you up. Sure, it's easier for them to pick you up at the train station, right? Or you can just Uber from there rather than Ubering from Bridgewater. So that's going to be a huge benefit. Also, keep in mind, too, you can get to Fall River utilizing the train from New Bedford. It's not a direct shot. You got to go from New Bedford to Taunton and then wait for the train that's going from Taunton to Fall River, but you can do it, and vice versa. So if you wanted to go get dropped off, you know, by Battleship Cove, it's a short walk over to Battleship Cove from the train station. And then you can have yourself a day at the park. Jump back on the train, come home. So it's going to be beneficial in a number of ways. Now, will it be so beneficial that eventually they're going to start connecting South Coast Rail to other routes? Will they connect New Bedford to Wareham so that you can get down to the Cape? I don't know. The tracks exist. I don't know how much they can utilize those tracks because the Old Colony Railroad uses them for trash service. But it may be a possibility. You could be able to get on the train in New Bedford and take it to the, you know, I don't know if it would be a direct shot or if it would be leaving from the Taunton station or one of those other stations around there. But maybe that brings you out to Gillette Stadium at some point down the line so that you don't have to drive to a Patriots game or drive to a concert. If you've ever tried to get out of Gillette Stadium after one of those events, which, by the way, is still infinitely better than getting out of Foxborough Stadium was, but you know how long that could be. By the time you got in that train and went back to New Bedford via train, if that service becomes available, you'd probably be back at your car in New Bedford before you would have been out of the parking lot or off Route 1 back in Foxborough. So this could be a game changer, and it will be a game changer if people are utilizing it properly. As I mentioned earlier, too, the New Bedford Light article talks about how you can take the train into South Station, and then it's very easy to get from South Station to the aquarium, to the Children's Museum, to the Museum of Science, and you can go to the New Bedford Public Library and get free passes to those places. And as I mentioned, if you are a member of the Buttonwood Zoo, you get admission into some of those places. I don't want to speak out of school because I don't know what the reciprocal memberships are off the top of my head currently. But when my son was little, you could take it right from, you could use the zoo membership to go right into the Museum of Science, into the exhibition halls, and you only had to pay for the extras. So if you wanted to go to the Omni Theater or the Planetarium or things like that, you paid extra. But otherwise, you walked into the exhibition halls as a member of the Buttonwood Park Zoo. So a lot of potential there. 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm wondering, well, I'm glad that you mentioned the city's website because you try to apply for a job and you don't know where in the hell the job even is. So you have to apply to wastewater treatment. You have to find a job that's available at wastewater treatment. in order to be considered for another job in a completely different department in the city. It's just weird. Like, who would know that? You know, maybe that's why the city is 50 people shy on their roster, because people can't find the place to apply. So, you know,
I was going to say, I'm reinstalling right now, because so I got a new phone recently, so that's probably why I didn't have the NB Connected app on my phone still. But I know on this here, so on this app, they have a link for city jobs, and I'm just, give me 1 second. It's loading up, but I'm going to click on it to let you know if it makes it any easier. So if you click on that, it brings you to all of the open positions for city jobs. So that app might be more beneficial for somebody looking.
You look at that, and you see those jobs, a lot of those jobs are, they're certified, and you've got, you know, their office jobs and this and that. But if he's saying that there are 30, 40 people, like I said, and there's probably more than that that the city needs to fill DPI positions, mowing the grass, parks and recreation, so on and so forth, you can't find those jobs on there. So what do? You have to put your application into wastewater treatment. You have to apply to be a wastewater treatment technician. Well, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm looking at the jobs they have listed here. They have things like van driver, after school program monitor. You know, there's a lot here.
A dozen jobs. Yeah, it's like a dozen jobs listed on there.
There's 57.
There's 50, really?
57 openings.
Sure, yeah. I'll have to look it up again. But, and about the team going up to Boston, I'm very curious as to what other people are saying about it. Like, what are people, are people up in Boston looking forward to being able to commute down here for a job? Or are people in Brockton looking forward to commuting down here for a job?
What I've heard from people that I know up in Boston is that they'll be utilizing this to come down and take the ferry to Martha's Vineyard. That's the only people that I've talked to. They've discussed that. And you know, they asked me, you know, what is there to do around where the train comes in New Bedford? I said, oh, it's downtown. There's museums, there's food. So if you've got to spend some time between the time you get off the train and the time your ferry leaves, you'll be good.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. There's a restaurant and there's a museum. But that's it.
For now, you know, the Zeitarian will be back, you know, within the next year or so. And you know, there'll be other things that I'm sure will pop up because of the train being there.
Yeah. But, you know, those are the people that can afford to do it. So you're looking at a certain income bracket. If they can afford to take the T down here and take a commute out to the Cape.
And that's what you want, right? You want the people that are going to come in here and spend a bunch of money and then go home.
Spend a bunch of money on what?
On going out to eat and going to the sea and going to the museums.
The restaurant and the museum. It's just weird. I want to hear, you know, if I was able to do it, I would go up there and just interview people. But I'm not a journalist. But that'd be most interesting, is to find out what the popular consensus is in those areas that New Bedford is going to be connected to.
Yeah, my guess is that they haven't even given it much thought. But maybe the city will do some better marketing up there and get people that want to come down.
Maybe people. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It always seems like there's stuff going. There's like big dreams, but it's kind of grasping at straws too. Like in hopes that something will happen out of it.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. We got less than a week before we start to see.
Yeah. Hey, have a good day.
You as well. All right. Yeah. I gotta take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. welcome back in. There's some 311 for you. And 311 came out when I was in college, and they played UMass Dartmouth right before that song broke. Yeah, my ex-wife and I, when we started dating, we went to the 311 concert, because back then you could go to a concert because you're like, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. 311's playing at Great Woods. All right, let's go do that. $15 a ticket. We just showed up and saw 311 and Shooty's Groove and I think a couple other bands. You know, you could do that back then. But she's like, this is my second time seeing them. Why? What did you say them before? They played at UMass Dartmouth right before the start of the year. I had no idea.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash played at UMass Dartmouth.
Yeah, but they were already established by then, right? No. Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Barry wrote about that before. Yeah. Anyway. So I don't know how I'm going to transition from 311 to school buses, but Tremblay's Bus Driver is looking for bus drivers, van monitors, and van drivers. So if you're looking to earn some extra money while helping kids get to school, you just got to go to their website, tbcbus.com. And then you can find out more about how to apply. And don't worry about whether or not you have a CDL. They are willing to train you if you are willing to learn. And you know what? Let the kids play 311 on the bus. No, the kids don't know who 311 is. They don't know who it is. You can introduce them to it, though. Just be careful which songs you play, because a lot of them are about smoking weed and stuff. So, anyway, we've got a few moments remaining here. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. Again, the mayor is coming in with Chris at 11 o'clock. It's going to be his first appearance here since the Snitch City series was released. The third part of it was released yesterday, called The Chief, all about Chief Oliveira. And if you don't want to listen to the podcast, they do have a transcript so you can read everything that's in it. But I'm sure the mayor will have a lot to say, even beyond the statement that he put out, because now, again, more parts have come out and he's had more time to stew about it. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. And of course, he'll take your questions and calls about it as well. Let me take my final break of this hour and we'll be back to wrap things up. Happy person, if you get yourself one of those, was it Zapolas, for today, for the St. Joseph's Day, but also today is National Poultry Day, according to the National Day calendar. And what better day to get on over to the butcher shop in New Bedford to get yourself some of their giant chicken wings, some of their great chicken breast, all the different chicken products that they serve, as well as everything else that they have at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. You can get all the meat that you need, as well as other items, because it's a real old school neighborhood market, including a complete selection of beer and wine as well. They've got the cheese with all the cheeses from all across the world. And don't forget to get yourself some of Maria's rice pudding. A great way to top off any meal. Hot food ready to go and all the things that you want to cook at home at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Let's try and finish up with a couple of calls here. Let's see. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. This is Wendy Morrow from South Coast Neighbors United.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Great. I just wanted to make everyone aware of really important events that the group is organizing. It's a speaker series, and we've set up quite a few days and quite a few speakers to come speak about the myths and the truths behind the waste crisis and the ways that we as individuals and communities can be working towards mitigating the crisis, bringing in companies such as Parallel Products and other similar businesses to supposedly mitigate the waste crisis. They're businesses that their revenue depends heavily on the existence and the abundance of waste. So that will actually only perpetuate the waste crisis. We need to be working towards really sustainable long-term solutions that are responsible, that are good for the environment, good for our health, good for our communities, and good for our economy. And there are other options.
I got about 1 minute left if you want to give people the details on the meeting.
Yes. So we have one tonight. It is at UMass Dartmouth from 3 to 5. And then there is one later on this evening at the New Bedford Whaling Museum. That one's 6:30 to 8:30. But if you go to New Bedford Light and look at their civic calendar, you can see information there, a lot more information there about the times, locations, and the other speakers that we have coming up.
So there'll be more after this one.
Yes, we have topics on recycling. We have topics on fix-it clinics, how to repair your own items instead of throwing them out and buying new ones. And we expect to have more events in the next 2 months.
Excellent. Well, keep us updated with everything, and we appreciate the call.
I do. Thanks so much.
All right.
Have a great day.
You as well. And that's actually going to do it for me. I'm going to run out of time, so I don't want to try to squeeze in another call here. But you can hang on and talk with Chris McCarthy. He's coming up after the news. We will also have, again, Mayor Mitchell coming in at 11 o'clock. The first, I think, Chris and I were talking about the first public comments he's made.